In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Come, Holy Spirit, come with your glorious power. Come and anoint us, anoint me, anoint the people that are hearing. Lord, let people snap on the radio that need to hear this. We ask this, Father, in the name of Jesus the Lord. We love you, Holy Spirit, and we await that you will anoint us to hear and to speak the word of God. I'm looking at 1 Samuel 8. And it came to pass when Samuel was very old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his first son was Joel, and the name of his second son was Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in the ways of God, but turned aside after money and took bribes and perverted judgment. Let me tell you this. Every generation has to be converted to the Lord Jesus. God has no grandsons. He only has sons. He only has daughters. Just because Samuel was a holy man and a prophet and a seer, his sons were nothing but bums. They were in it for the money. Let me tell you that in religion you can get rich. It's all about money. People give us money. People give us money. What do we do with the money? I do not take a cent from what comes in. We just about pay our bills because God is faithful. But conversion needs to take place at every generation. You might say, your mother is a saint. That doesn't help you. Your father was the bishop of whatever. That doesn't help you. Every generation must come to know the Lord as God wants them to know the Lord. Do not think that just because my family were all good Christians, that that is passed through the bloodline. It's not. Every generation must turn to the Lord. These two guys were perverted, and they were into bribes and into filthy lucre, into money. And I'm telling you, money comes and goes. The best way that we do with our money is to give it away, to give money away. The Lord has blessed me with some money, and I give a lot away. I try to give $750 a month away because it's not my money. It's the Lord's money. It's more than tithing. And I try to do that every single month. Last month I didn't do it, so this month is going to be doubled. You see, the only way that money does not become an idol is when you give it away. When you give it away. And you just let it go as seed for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Israel asks for a king. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel to Ramah and said unto Samuel, "Behold, Samuel, you are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways," that's right there, "into money. Now let us have a king to judge us like all the nations." Isn't it awful that they want to be like everybody else? Jesus Christ said that we should be in the world, but not of the world. Jesus said that we should not be like the nations, that we should be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. That's what Jesus said. And I'm telling you, when Israel said they wanted a king, they were not sinning against Samuel. They were sinning against God, because God is the king of Israel. We want to be like everybody else. If you want to be like everybody else, you're out of the kingdom. We need to be different. Loving God, loving people, pouring our life out. We need to be different. People need to see the difference makes the difference. You might say, but I'm not powerful. you give yourself to Jesus and let Jesus use you the way he wants to use you. But this thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto you. For they have not rejected you, Samuel, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. You see? They want some king. They want some king, just like the other nations. Like the other nations. And I'm telling you, they're rejecting the kingship of God. That God is the king of Israel. Let me tell you that God is the king of the Catholic Church. Whether we let him be God or not let him be God, he's still in control. God is still on the throne and hears and answers prayer. The Lord is in love with his people. He is the king over his people. We have a feast, Jesus Christ the King. He is the king over the church. When we let him be, when we let him be, you see, you can have it all yourself and say, I've got to do this, I've got to do that, I've got to do the other thing. But unless the Lord is king, nothing happens spiritually. Nothing happens. Nothing happens spiritually. Unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord watch over the city, in vain does the city dweller keep vigil. I'm telling you, God has to be king over the church and over the parishes and over the ministries, not us. And we're not in it for the filthy lucre. We're in it to proclaim the word of God so that people might hear the word and give themselves to Jesus. This is it. This is it. They want a king. They're rejecting the Lord. And this is what Samuel says. According to all the works which they have done since the day I brought them out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto you, Samuel. In other words, Samuel, they're not against you totally. They're against me. They're against my reigning over them. Now therefore hearken unto their voice, howbeit they protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. And then he's going to tell us what the king's going to do. Oh, the king's going to get all the men and use them in their armies. Oh, yes. All the women is going to use them as cooks and slaves and servants. Yes. The king's going to misuse your people, misuse the people of God. And Samuel told all these words unto the Lord, unto the people that asked of him a king. And he said, this will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself. That's right. For his chariots, for his horsemen, and some shall run before the chariot. And he will appoint captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them on the ear of ground to reap the harvest and to make his instruments of war and instruments of chariots. In other words, it's going to use you. You want a king? You're going to have to be subject to the king. And I'm going to tell you, the king doesn't care about you. I'm just thinking about the kingship in England. Now, this is not something that the Queen Elizabeth really reigns over the country. The Prime Minister is the real guy that with the power. But you know what? That family, you know, the most dysfunctional family in the world probably, that family gets money to be king, to be queens, and to be whatever they are, and reign over the people. Yeah, they're reigning over the people. They're not doing anything. You know, I have nothing against Queen Elizabeth, but she's no more queen than I am a king. That's just real. That's just real. You know what the Irish say about the English? You know how they became kings? That they were the greatest pirates on the sea, and they defeated the people on the sea. I'm just telling you, a king and a queen, it's all about them. It is not about the people. Hopefully, we get another president. The president we have now is all about him. It's all about him. Anybody that ever listened to Mr. Obama knows that it's all about him. He thinks he's a king. He makes all these rules. We need someone that's going to care about the people. It is the people that the president should be caring about, not about himself. We look at Hillary Rodham Clinton, and we see when they left the White House, they took all the computers with them. They took everything with them. I'm telling you, this is what we're facing. And if we do not give our lives to Jesus, we might be stuck with a bad president. Oh, yes. God will give us a bad president if God's people do not repent. It's just like that. It's just like that. And you say, well, what will happen? I'll tell you what will happen. We have lost our country the last 7 years that Mr. Obama has been president. It is not the same country that we had 20 years ago. It's another country. Yes, he wanted to not fix it, but destroy it and make it after his image. This is what he wanted to do, and he's done it. He's done it to the best of his ability. He's got one more year to reign over us. I know the king reigns over us, but he acts like a king. He acts like a king. And he will appoint captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and they will send them to the ear his ground and to reap his harvest and to make instruments of war and instruments of chariots. And he will take your daughters to be cooks and to be bakers, and he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. And he will take the tenth of your seed of the vineyards and give it to his officers and his servants. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants for the goodliness of young men and your donkeys and put them to his work. You see, the king is all about himself. Jesus wants us to shine like stars in this crooked and perverse generation. In the world, but not of the world. That's how he called us, to be in the world, but not of the world. That's Jesus. He doesn't want us to be like other people. He wants us to shine like stars in this crooked and perverse generation. Hallelujah. Do you know that today? Do you know that today? That a Christian is supposed to shine like stars in this crooked and perverse generation. Do you know that today? That's what we're called to be. You go out into a field where there are no lights and you see these beautiful stars. You can almost touch them. Shine like stars in this crooked and perverse generation. It's from Paul's letter to the Philippians. And he will take your maidservants and your goodliness young men and your donkeys and put them to his work. And he will take one-tenth of your sheep and he shall have you as his servants, and you shall cry out in that day, because your king, which you have chosen you, the Lord will not hear you in that day. In other words, when the king takes all that he wants, the people could say, oh, we made a mistake. I tell you, God says, I'm not going to listen to you. You dumped me for a king. You dumped the king of Israel, God Almighty, for a man. You do that. And when you start complaining to me that he's ripping you off, I'm not going to listen to you. Because you wanted to be like everybody else. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. They were hard-hearted. And they said, no, but we will have a king over us, that we may also be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. Yeah. Don't tell me the king is going to fight the battles. He'll have the men fight the battles, and his sons will be in the castle. Listen, it's human nature. It's human nature. You won't have the king's sons out in the battlefield. It'll be the people who are his subjects out in the battlefield. And let me tell you, they're going to be in deep trouble. Why? Because they rejected God. And when you reject God, I'm going to tell you that bad things are going to happen to you when you reject God. That we may also be like other nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. And Samuel heard these words, the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, hearken unto their voice, make them a king. And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, go every man unto his city. In other words, God is going to give his people what they want. And I'm telling you, what they want is not good. What they want is not good. They want to be like everybody else. You know, the way we treat our children is that way too. We want the children to have the sneakers that everybody else has. We want the children to have this that everybody else has. Listen, listen, some people cannot afford that. And they go into debt. And then they go into debt, they can't pay their bills. You're just being just like the Israelites. We want to be like everybody else. No, we are not called to be that. Again, God has only children, and his children should be shining like stars. Chapter 9. Now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeruah, the son of Bethlehemite, a mighty man of power. And he had a son whose name was Saul. This is not Saul of Tarsus. This is not St. Paul. This is the Old Testament. He had a son whose name was Saul. A choice young man and goodly. And there was no among the children of Israel a better person than Saul. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. He was handsome. He was tall. He looks like he's going to be the king of Israel, that God himself is going to allow him to reign over the people. And the donkeys of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to Saul, his son, take now one of the servants with thee, and arise and go and seek the donkeys. And he passed through Mount Ephraim, and passed through the land of Shalisha, but they found no donkeys. Then they passed through the land of Shalim, and there were no donkeys. And he passed through the land of the Benjamites, but they found no donkeys. And when they had come to the land of Zuph, Saul said to his servants that was with him, come, let us return, let us go to my father, and leave caring for the donkeys, and take thought for us. And he said unto them, behold now, there is in this city a man of God. I'm telling you, I want you to know that this is all important, that there be in our towns and in our cities men of God and women of God. Oh yes, let me tell you that the people know who the men of God is or are, and who the women of God are. How do they know? Because they run to them. They run to them when they have troubles. Let me tell you, Father Patrick Power, he died many years ago, but yet people still go to his grave. Why? Because he was a man of God, and people still go to his grave because he was a man of God. And he said unto him, behold now, there is in the city a man of God who is honorable. All that he says comes true. Now let us go there, and he will show us our way that we should go. In other words, he's going to show us where the donkeys are, the men of God. Then said Saul to his servant, but behold, If we go, what shall we bring this man of God? For the bread is spent in our vessels, and there is no present to bring to the man of God. What do we have? And the servant answered Saul again and said, Behold, I have here in my hand a fourth part of a shekel of silver that will give to the man of God to tell us where the donkeys are. Before time in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, thus he spoke, Come, let us go to the seer. They were called seers before they were called prophets. For he that is now called a prophet was called a seer. Then said Saul to his servants, Well said, come, let us go, so that they went into the city where the man of God was. We want to look at Jesus' ministry. Wherever Jesus went, I'm telling you, the people followed. Why? They wanted to hear the word of God. Why else? They wanted a touch from Jesus. Crowds came because the man of God had power, and the power was not for himself, but for the people of God, for he is the Son of God. He is the Son of God. Let me tell you that Allah is not God. He is the moon God. The moon God. He is not God. Our God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the God of Jesus Christ. Allah is not God. And whether people like that or not, that's their problem. I'll tell you what happened with Allah. The desert people had 365 gods, and they chose one to be the God. And you know what their big saying is? God is one, and he has no son. Well, you know what? Our God has an eternal son. The son reigned with the Father from all eternity, and he was made flesh in the Virgin Mary's womb. He came to be delivered in Bethlehem, and he was crucified on a cross out of love for us. He rose from the dead. He is the Son of God, the eternal Son of God. And we become sons and daughters of God by surrendering our life to Jesus. That's the way we become sons and daughters of God. I'm telling you, people are mixed up. They don't know A from Z. People are mixed up. We need men of God, women of God. They're going to preach the truth. They're going to tell people the great news that they are loved by the beloved God, that they are cared for by God himself, that God wants things to happen that only he can do. Do you know today that the Lord's got his eyes on you because he loves you? Not because he wants to hurt you, but because he loves you. Do you know today that God has a plan for your life? Like, do you know that today? Do you know that the plan is good because Jesus is the man with the plan? Do you know that today? That God has something for you that only God wants. But you must receive him in faith. Now, I know many people have received Jesus in faith. And this is not to you. This is to the person that is a sinner, that does not know God, that God wants to be in relationship with him or her because he died for him or her. You might be he. You might be she. This Jesus gave his life for thee and for me. Pray with me. Jesus, Son of God, come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. Wash away my sins and fill me with the Holy Spirit. Fill me with the Holy Spirit that I would go about the world shining like stars in this crooked generation. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. And his name is Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May Jesus Christ show you that he has a plan for you, and may you know his love today. Don't want to be like everybody else. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.